you haven't joined FanDuel, you need to change that this week. You need to start turning your fantasy football skills into real cash every single weekend. Chris Prince from Detroit, he's an avid fantasy football player, and get this, he's won over $656,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel.com. Join him and hundreds of thousands of other users have already won money. FanDuel.com, it's the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. The money is real. Entry fees start at just $1. No season-long commitment, no upfront fees. Play each week whenever you want. It's up to you. Set a new line each week, win every week, if you're good enough. FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this season. But you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code BODEN, and sign up now. Okay, listen, the new user special is ending soon. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. That's $200 for free. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code name Bowden, so don't forget to use my code name. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention, episode 86. Well, I guess let's just get right to it, because the only thing in the news, the only thing anyone's talking about right now is the NFL, which is an absolute mess. We've got Adrian Peterson in the child abuse case. We've got Ray Rice in the spouse abuse case. We've got Greg Hardy, recently convicted for spousal abuse, for choking his girlfriend and threatening her life, and on and on. Listen, this thing is such a mess, I don't know where to start, okay? Even I've been caught in it. Boy, I didn't want to. But when it all started, the thing with Adrian Peterson and the switch, I had a problem with the sensationalized reporting calling it a tree branch, because when I was a kid, just like so many other kids, particularly black kids, but kids from my era, from the South, I don't know what it was, something we had in common. When your parents said, go get a switch, if you came back with a tree branch, they'd think there was something wrong with you. A switch is a small stick broken off of a small tree branch, okay? Now, that's what I wrote. So, of course, people got on it in endorsing child abuse, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into that. My problem was the sensationalized reporting. Now, what Adrian Peterson did was wrong, okay? Adrian Peterson lost it. He beat this child too many times, too hard with this switch. He apparently drew blood. There were, you know, pictures of open wounds. There's also been another accusation of Adrian Peterson beating another four-year-old child he has with a different woman, and so on and so forth. So Adrian Peterson, bad guy, okay? And listen, side note, there's a cricket or two in my house. I have no idea how crickets get in the house. I'm sorry you have to hear that background noise. I'm trying to get rid of them. Don't know how. Okay, so it'll be music, little cricket music. What the hell? Let me try to stop this. Sorry about that. I'm back. Anyway, so as I was saying, Adrian Peterson, bad guy. I mean, this is a pattern of child abuse. Maybe he just loses his temper or whatever, but this has been a big thing. Chris Carter gave an impassioned speech, I'll call it, on ESPN, talking about how many black children grew up with the switch and that it was wrong. The culture has changed. Charles Barkley said the other way. He said, that's the culture and it's what's used. It's not abuse. I understand what he's saying. You know, I've have a friend who I've been having this ongoing debate with. She is a white woman from Canada, very liberal, and she's just so locked into the child abuse. she doesn't understand, or she doesn't accept, I should say, the explanation of the culture. And here's what I'm saying about the culture. The culture of using the switch, it may be wrong, but it is the culture. And any culture takes time to change. Listen, we've done it before. We as a society, I'll give you a big example, smoking. Smoking was normal right up and through the 60s, 70s, maybe even to the 80s. I can remember when you could smoke in theaters, when you could smoke in airplanes. Now you can't smoke outdoors in public parks. You know why? Because the culture changed. Did it change the one day the Surgeon General said smoking was bad for you? No, because that was like in the 60s or in the 50s and the Surgeon General was dismissed. Okay, so cultures change. This culture of disciplining kids, corporal punishment, whatever, it's not going to change overnight. I don't have kids, so I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids. But obviously, if you beat a child to where you draw blood, you've gone too far. Okay, but the culture is an explanation without being a justification. Okay, that's the way I look at it. Anyway, moving on. Now we have Ray Rice and Greg Hardy, two guys who beat their wife, girlfriend, fiance, whatever. They were wrong. Here's the thing. The NFL is a mess, okay? The NFL is a mess. Side note on this child abuse case, interesting how people are all worried about this four-year-old Adrian Peterson's son being beaten. 15 years from now, when he's a black unarmed teenager and he gets shot, no one will care. Just saying. I hate to do this, hate to give credit, but I got to give credit where credit's due. Sean Hannity, one of those nuts over at Fox News, at least he's consistent. Sean pulled out a belt on his show, showed how his father beat him with a belt, said he's never needed psychiatric help. Okay, Sean, we're going to take your word for it, but many could argue that point. But anyway, you got to give it to him for consistency, because I promise you, Sean Hannity doesn't care about a four-year-old black kid getting beaten any more than he would care about a 14, 18, 20, 24-year-old black young man getting shot. At least he's consistent. Sean don't care at all. Okay, I'll hear it about that one, but I don't even care. Here's the thing. The NFL is a mess. Okay, Roger Goodell's back is against the wall. Roger Goodell doesn't know how to deal with this. He's been doing makeshift suspensions. There are so many types of suspensions now. There's the you're suspended and you can't play. There's suspended, you can't play, but you can work out. The Adrian Peterson and Greg Hardy are somehow suspended with pay, but they can't talk to the team. I don't even know what you call all of these things, but I'll tell you this, and here's where it all stops. It all stops right now, because you know what culture matters? The culture of billionaires. Yeah, NFL owners are billionaires, and you know what they understand? Money. And they understand when the money stops, that's when the behavior must change. And guess what, people? The money has stopped. Radisson Hotels had pulled its backing from Minnesota Vikings. But more importantly, and I love this because this is straight gangster, Anheuser-Busch has threatened the NFL. And this is, I mean, this is one of those subtle threats. This is like Tony Soprano suggesting you stop your current behavior. This is what Anheuser-Busch sent to the NFL. We are disappointed and increasingly concerned by the recent incidents that have overshadowed this NFL season. We are not yet satisfied with the league's handling of behaviors that so clearly go against our own company culture and moral code. We have shared our concerns and expectations with the league. Watch out. That is if you have ever seen a gangster movie, you know what they're saying. Anheuser-Busch, okay? Anheuser-Busch, which is a billion-dollar sponsor, which sponsors through Budweiser and all their other beers every NFL team, okay? Which spends they have a 6-year, $1.2 billion contract with the NFL. We've seen the Super Bowl commercials. We've seen the Budweiser. Everything from the Three Frogs to the Budweiser girls to the Bud Bowl to you name it. Okay, the Clydesdales. Yeah, imagine that leaving. Let me tell you something. Roger Goodell is going to put a stop to this before Budweiser leaves. Okay, plain and simple. This doesn't have anything to do. I'm sorry. Call me a cynic. Call me what you want. This doesn't have to do with the children. This doesn't have to do with the women. This doesn't have to do with the morality. This has to do with money, okay? When Anheuser-Busch speaks, the NFL listens, plain and simple. So you better believe something is finally going to be done about this. And honestly, it should, because it does overshadow the game. Every time you turn on the TV, you don't get football highlights. You get legalese, you get analysts, and you get, you know, on and on. And speaking of which, ESPN should be ashamed of themselves. And you know, they are the entertainment and sports programming network. If you wonder what ESPN is, they are the king, all right? And they are owned by football. They have not broken one of these stories. These stories have been broken by TMZ and by local sports affiliates or local news affiliates in the towns that these players live in. ESPN has done nothing. No reporting, no investigating. They're so afraid of football because football pays their bills, and then they act outraged and they give their little speeches. And no, shut up, ESPN. You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're sitting on a sideline. Let me tell you something. Real sports, you want to see investigation? Real sports with Bryant Gumbel on HBO would have torn this apart. Trust me, real sports would have been just knee-deep into investigating this. ESPN sort of gets reports from other people. Then they put their serious face on. You ever see when they do that? They put their serious face on, and they look at each other, and they look at the camera, and they say, All right, it's embarrassing, it's insulting, it's ridiculous. Speaking of ridiculous, Jameis Winston down in Florida State, who works with this guy? Who does he have anybody who works with him? His latest thing, jumping up on a table saying, "I'm going to F her in the P." Okay, if you've seen these videos going around, it's this viral video thing of taking various people in history and you know, you have a way of manipulating the video so that they say this. And I'll say it once and then it's stupid, but I'll fuck her in the pussy, right? So he jumps up on a table and yells it in a cafeteria at Clemson. His punishment? Sit back. Hold on. Look out. He's suspended for one half of one football game. They're coddling him. This kid's only getting worse. But what's amazing is you have a kid who was brought up on sexual assault charges. You have a kid who stole crab's legs from a grocery store for some unknown reason. This kid has gotten in more trouble. Yeah, he's a phenomenal quarterback. He won the Heisman. And apparently he's a smart guy because he's scheduled to graduate from college in 3 years. So he's not dumb. But what he's doing, especially in now, with all the trouble the NFL's having, is he's destroying his opportunity. And believe me, they won't mess with him. If Anheuser-Busch says we want clean, it's going to be clean. Okay? So we can go on and on. Everyone's got an opinion on this. We can go around and around. I'll give you another one that scares me. Okay? Mark Cuban said that the NFL is going to explode within 10 years. And it is exploding. Anytime Mark Cuban is right, stand back. We got a problem. Smart man, tech billionaire, annoying personality. Just my opinion, my podcast, you're getting my opinion. Okay, I'm not going to get into what's the acceptable level of beating, whether it be child, woman, dog, goat, whatever you may have around the house. Try not to hit it. Don't hit it. Okay, just I'm not going to tell you what the proper level is or what tool to use or whatever. I'm tired of talking about this. This is absolutely ridiculous that the national conversation is beating children versus beating women in our number one sports league. Unbelievable. I'm tired of ESPN and their hypocrisy. And it's not just football, because we got Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart, the NASCAR driver, he's indicted by a grand jury. They're going to investigate the death of Kevin Ward Jr. If you remember that, it was on a sprint car, which is like a dirt oval. Tony Stewart's car, it's called oversteer. When the back of the car, like think if you're turning left, the back of the car goes farther out left than the front of the car, okay, as if it's starting to spin. It hit the kid died. The kid was walking on the track, which obviously he shouldn't have been. I don't know the culture of sprint car, but from what I understand, it's not that, you know, others have walked on the track. Anyway, I don't know if Tony Stewart's right or wrong, but just another major sport with a major criminal investigation. Listen, I love MotoGP. I'm sticking with MotoGP, which is motorcycle racing, because so far it seems pretty clean. And I think I'm going to start watching chess. Yes, I think I'm going to stick with motorcycle racing and chess, because I can't keep watching this. It's ridiculous. We're going into the World Series in baseball. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who the playoff contenders are, what's going on, because we're following which football player got arrested today. It's not even this week. Today. And by the time you hear this, there'll be four more in trouble. Now, let's talk about the NFL and drugs, because the NFL has reached this new drug policy. I am not a lawyer. The lawyers who figured this out are either the smartest people I've ever met or they actually are on drugs. It's the strangest thing. First of all, players who have been suspended, like Wes Walker, Stedman Bailey, Orlando Scandrick, guys who have been suspended for drug use, okay, like Wes Walker was using Molly with amphetamines in it, okay, all of that stuff, they're back. Those guys can play. Josh Gordon, Lavelle Brazil was suspended for the season. They're cut back to 10 games, blah, blah, blah. What drug is legal and what drug isn't, I don't know. We had the thing with human growth hormone. It's illegal, but human growth hormone is tested by drawing blood, and the players will not allow their blood to be drawn. Now they didn't want it now. Some of them are going to have blood draw it now. Marijuana, okay? Marijuana used to be 15 nanograms per milliliter. Now it's 35 nanograms per milliliter, which allows double the amount of marijuana to be present before a positive result. And you have to test it twice and blah, blah, blah. Now, you have other drugs, certain amphetamines, stimulants, Adderall, blah, 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 which have a therapeutic use exemption, which means if you got a prescription to use the drug, then it's okay to use the drug. But if you didn't get a prescription, then it's banned, and you could have a two-game fine. You see what I mean? I don't know how this works. Suppose you live in California, where marijuana can be prescribed. How does that work? What about Colorado and Washington, where marijuana is legal? How does that work? Who knows? I don't think they know, but they have a new drug policy. I don't know how. I don't know, man. It's weird. Something is going on. The NFL has a lot of work to do, right? I'm taking drugs, but I was high on the drugs, so I forgot to get my exemption from my doctor. I better run get one. Like, you really think the NFL player is going to have a problem getting a prescription if the drug he's been taking is exempted through prescription? Really? Come on. This whole thing is a mess. They have something for everything. 28 pages just on steroids, 32 pages for recreation or, as they say, non-approved medicine drugs, which I don't know. Now, it even covers alcohol. Like, say you've been caught on drugs and you're sent to substance abuse. Now, if you get caught with alcohol, alcohol's a drug, I guess, unless you're, what if your doctor's your bartender? Huh? What if your doctor's your bartender? Then he prescribes a shot. And then you can take a shot, but he's like, hey, I got a prescription. And at least I wasn't taking a drug when I took. You see what I'm saying? The NFL's a mess. I don't know if Roger Goodell's going to be, people are talking about firing Roger Goodell, but I don't know if firing Roger Goodell, I don't know if that matters, because I don't know that this is his, you know, problem, his issue, as much as it is just ingrained in the sport. This is like the NBA in the 70s when everybody was smoking weed and the whole thing was just a mess. And speaking of smoking weed and just a mess, let's get away from sports because I have no answers. Let's get back to the fun stuff, like the Republicans. This obsession with drug testing, okay, now we've got Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, and he's saying that you'll have to drug test to get food stamps or unemployment. Okay, first of all, your states can't do that. That's federal law. Okay, but besides that, they love yelling. Yeah, the entitlement people, they're on drugs. They're all taking drugs. They're taking drugs. Yeah, they're using your tax dollars. You're working hard. Okay, so you want the truth? In one study, 3.6% of recipients satisfied the screening criteria for drug abuse and dependence. Okay. Let's see. Florida, it was a big deal in Florida. Yeah. From 2011 to 2012, 108 out of 4,086 people failed a drug test. That's 2.6%. That's even lower. That's NFL level. Okay, so 2.6. In other words, this is another one that, like, they create this noise and people listen to this noise and people vote on this noise, and there's nothing real about it. There's people on food stamps and people on unemployment and people getting government assistance don't want it. They don't want to be there and they don't want to take drugs. Are there some of them on drugs? Yeah. But there's some military veterans on drugs. There's some football players on drugs. There's housewives on drugs. There's people. Listen, it's so ridiculous, but they're going to keep fighting this. They're going to keep pulling this out. And they, you know what? They're going to keep losing. They're going to keep losing because people are tired of this nonsense. How about some truth? How about getting into some real issues? That's scary. Now, you want to test someone for drugs? I don't know. Maybe we'll test the people who run the LA Unified School District. Remember the MRAP? Remember seeing that big armored personnel vehicle in Ferguson and saying, wow, what the hell is that? I have personal experience with them. I got to ride with them when I was in Baghdad, in Iraq, entertaining the troops. Well, the LA Unified School District, the LA School Police, they've got a few MRAPs. Now, they've also got some other military weapons. They've agreed to return the 3 grenade launchers, but they're going to go ahead and keep the MRAP and the 16 M16 rifles that they've got from the government. This is not the LAPD. These are the school police. These are the police for truants and you know, who patrol the school ground. You got to have your M16s and your MRAP, because you never know. So, and just to put it in perspective, okay, other school districts have, you know, taken part in this military. What happens, the military gets, these things get old and the military gets new ones, and they'll give you or, quote, sell you some. So, you know, the LA's gotten the MRAP and the M16s. They, again, gave back the grenade launchers. Oakland received a tactical utility truck, but something smaller than an MRAP. They said it's a rolling public relations vehicle. They pull it out twice a year. They don't have any high-powered weapons. Stockton, probably heard of Stockton. A lot of cars stolen up there. Stockton, not the greatest town in the world. Yeah, they've got some military equipment for the police department. They got a podium, an exercise bike, and a pair of televisions. Not quite an MRAP and a bunch of M16s, but what are you going to do? The insanity continues with these military vehicles. Of course, San Diego School District, not to be done by LA, they also got an MRAP, because you know something? You got to get those truants somehow. Now, the head guy of the San Diego police said, well, you know, what if there's an earthquake and we have to rip down a wall? I don't know. Fire department, search and rescue. I think about 5 or 6 departments would get involved with that before the school police did. But just in case, they've got an MRAP. They're ready in case there's trouble. Let's continue with the insanity. And this is close to home for me. I live in an area called Studio City. It is called Studio City because within 3 miles of me is CBS Studios, Universal Studios, NBC Studios, ABC Studios, Warner Brothers Studios, and all the related businesses, you know, places where they mix sound and mix music and places where you rent cameras and rent lights. And trust me, there's a bunch of unemployed actors and actresses walking around here, some beautiful people walking around my neighborhood, and so on and so forth. Well, one of these people walking around is Danielle Watts. Danielle Watts was in the movie Django Unchained, and she's also on a sitcom on Fox right now. She also happens to be a black woman who's married to a white man. And the police detained her, threw her in handcuffs, threw her in the back of a police car because they thought she was a prostitute and was doing, what do they call it? Indecent acts, lewd behavior. They thought she was a hooker. Okay, let me tell you something. There are no hookers in Studio City. I promise you, there are no hookers in Studio City. Porn stars? Oh, hell yeah. Hookers? Oh, hell no. If there was a hooker in Studio City, I'd know about it. Why? Not for me, but for you. I research these things, people. I'm here for you. She was a black woman who kissed a white man. Somebody lost their mind and called the cops. And the cops, in their idiocy, threw handcuffs on her because she wouldn't show her ID. You know what? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Why do these things keep happening? Do we ever get past this insanity? I mean, this woman's an actress in major movies and major TV shows. She's in Studio City is probably, I'm going to guess, 80% white neighborhood. I'm going to guess 80%. Maybe more. I don't know. But certainly there's no, like this just isn't going to happen here. There's not going to be a black hooker on the street in Studio City. Okay. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if you can imagine if Friends was shot in LA, it would have been shot here. Okay. Very convenient neighborhood. 15 minutes to Hollywood. That's why I live here. 3 different freeways. I can sit in traffic in 3 different directions within 10 minutes. I love Studio City. It's fun. It's a great place to live. Cops hassling this woman. Inexcusable. Unbelievable. If you saw Crash, if you saw the scene in Crash where the Terrence Howard was pulled over by the police on Ventura Boulevard, that's in Studio City. It's a movie. It's not supposed to happen in real life, but it did, and it's a damn shame. Discrimination is wrong, plain and simple, but we seem to not be able to get past it. Now, the final story I'm going to go with is also discrimination, but I'm really not sure how this works. The cab inspectors in San Diego are going to start smelling the cab drivers. Yeah, we've all been in cabs that have, shall we say, unique smells. I never know whether it's the car or the driver. I always kind of assumed it was the car, though. I never really thought it was the driver. I think, you know, the people do who knows what in cabs, and a car goes from one to another. They're not exactly cleaned every day. So I always thought it was a car, but apparently these San Diego cab inspectors think it's a driver. And one of the 52 criteria that they're going to do when they check the cab is they're going to smell the driver. They're going to sniff him. And if he's smelly, he got to go home and change. The cab drivers are like, hey, you're discriminating against us because we're foreign and our culture might not include bathing. Well, I guess your culture better include bathing if you're going to be a cab driver. I don't even know. I don't even know what to think about this. But I'll tell you what, cabbies, you better watch your ass, because if they are busting out the MRAPs for the school students, you know, cabbies getting out of line, they might just run up to LA and borrow an M16. I got nothing. I'm absolutely dumbfounded. Ladies and gentlemen, this weekend I will be up in Canada at Yuck Yucks in Vancouver. And next week, it's going to be my first time at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas. It's at the Tropicana. I'm there from September 22nd to 29th. Really looking forward to that because I love Vegas. So maybe I'll see you there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention. Have a good week.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.